Shiksha. Let me take it to right. Verse 2. So, we use the Jagannath Ashtaka melody. Na dharmam na dharmam shuti gana niruttam kilukuru Raje Radha Krishna pachura parijaryam Iha Sachi Sunam Nandishwara Pati Suttatve Guruvaram Mukunda Prestatve Svara Param Ajasram Nanumana. So, translation. Indeed, do not perform any pious acts prescribed in the Vedas and supporting literature, or sinful acts forbidden in them. Staying here in Braj, please perform profuse service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. O mind, unceasingly remember the son of Sachi as the son of Nanda Maharaj, and Sri Guru as the dearest servant of Lord Mukunda. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Bhajana Dharpana commentary, the Purva Paksha, that means the beginning part. This verse deals with three doubts. The first doubt concerns how an individual jiva who gives up false pride and takes shelter of Krishna Bhakti will earn a living. It might appear that no one who gives up dharma and adharma as prescribed in this verse could maintain a livelihood. The second doubt concerns accepting the worship of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the divine couple, as the ultimate and only object. Such a person needs to understand how to know and regard. Maybe in positive. They're becoming ecstatic outside. To know and regard Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without disturbing one point of worship. The third doubt concerns needing to know the method in which one should meditate on Sri Guru. Answers to all of these are provided below, with proper analysis. And then we go into the shlokartha. That means the meaning of the verse in terms of certain words in the verse. Nadharmam, nadharmam, shudigana niruktam kilakuru, which means do not perform the pious or sinful activities mentioned in the shrutis. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, the shruti's essence is the esoteric conclusion that one should serve the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, uninterruptedly. Externally, whatever a human being does, it falls into one of the two categories of dharma and adharma. If we reject both, life cannot be sustained even for a moment. Therefore, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami did not actually prohibit all activities in relation to engaging the senses in the world, nor did he prohibit all prescribed duties in relation to awakening a soul to the ultimate goal of life. In this world, there are two categories of living beings, the spiritually ignorant and the spiritually intelligent. For spiritually ignorant living beings, the Vedas, as Shruti and Smriti, list many rules and prohibitions to promote piety and discourage sin. Fear of punishment motivates spiritually ignorant jivas to follow such rules. Whenever they do anything independently of such scriptural guidelines, their actions have an inauspicious result. Give up ordinary dharma and adharma, offering everything to Krishna. Those who have attained self-realization are spiritually intelligent, conscious of their spiritual identity as a servant of God. They do not need and shouldn't do actions motivated by fear. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has instructed such persons who have realized their spiritual identity to pursue the worship of a divine couple without much regard to dharma or adharma. Even while performing whatever required duties are needed in their life, spiritual practitioners, sadhakas, should infuse those activities with service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Those persons who live according to Varnashram Dharma, the scriptural rules of occupation and life stages, should do those actions in a mood related to pure devotional service. For example, those who are married, grahasthas, should establish a deity form of the Lord, Sri Viraha, at home. Then all activities such as earning money, farming, supporting one's family, protecting wealth and assets, building houses, and so forth, should be done in the mood of identifying oneself as a servant of the deity, who is the enjoyer of all these activities. One should never think, I am the enjoyer and master. I can exploit the fruits of my work for any of my own enjoyment. According to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, even rituals such as the Shraddha oblation, offering to the ancestors, should be performed in the mood of service to the deity. When a person has no more attachment and dependency upon the principles of Varnashram Dharma, the pure intrinsic nature of devotional service for the pleasure of the divine couple is easily available, then one can live in Vrajadhan at least mentally, if not both physically and mentally. Okay, first point. Then Sachi Shunam Nandishvara Pati Sutatve. Meditate on Lord Chaitanya, the son of Sachi.
Is this open? Yeah, it's open.
Anyway, as non-different from Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda. The very beginning of worshipping the divine couple starts with worship of one's gurus, Sri Guru Puja, and pleasing the gurus. Then one remembers Lord Gauranga, meditating upon him to appear in the form of Krishna. If worship is done otherwise, the ultimate perfection will not come. However, if someone worships Sri Chaitanya separately from the divine couple, one will be unable to understand how he is non-different from Sri Krishna. Having established that Sri Krishna, Sri Nandanandana, is non-different from Lord Chaitanya, Sri Sachinandana, one is then able to remember Lord Chaitanya even while worshipping Sri Krishna. Meditate on Lord Chaitanya, Sachi's son, as being the same as Krishna, Nanda's son. And then there's Guru Varam Mukunda Prastatve Smara. Meditate on Sri Guru as being the dearest to Mukunda or Krishna. The term Mukunda Prashta means someone who is very dear to Lord Mukunda, the Lord who gives mukti or freedom from material world. The worshipper should think, Sri Krishna, who is like an ocean of mercy, has sent his intimate associate in order to take me home back to Godhead. It is also most appropriate to respect and regard Sri Gurudev as an intimate friend, a Priya Sakhi of Srimati Radharani. Meditate on the Guru as being very dear to Krishna. And so, that's Bhakti Vinod Thakur's commentary. He also writes songs about each verse, which I'm not going to read. So does anyone have any questions about that? Anything we just talked about? Three subject matters, basically. First of all, one should not do dharma or adharma except in relationship to pleasing Krishna. In other words, Raghunath Das Goswami is not prohibiting dharmic activities, you know, like Varnashram Dharma and everything like that, but they should be done to please Krishna. But if they're done just for the sake of dharma, that is not devotional service. They have to be done to please. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. Yad kuroshi yadashinashi yadvehoshi dadashi yadapashashi kanti yadat kurushwa maranapranam. Whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away should be done as an offering to me. So that's simple Bhagavad Gita stuff. So that's the first point. And the second point here, after that, is that we should see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different than Radha and Krishna. In fact, we have the statement that Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahyanya. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna as one. And of course, Lord Chaitanya exhibited that many times, so Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then the third point here is that one should, as a Guru, Varam, Mukunda Prastatve, meditate on the Guru as being the dearest to Mukunda or Krishna. So, any questions or comments? Yeah.
So Kriyastas who are going to work to maintain the family, are they pleasing Krishna with that, or?
If they're giving the results to Krishna. If they're raising the children up in Krishna consciousness, if they're inviting people to their homes, having Krishna conscious programs, if they're worshiping the deity at home, or if they're going to the temple and serving at the temple. Prabhupada said both are acceptable. It's not that if a grahastha lives close to the temple, it's not really advisable that they have deities at home. They said better they worship the deities in the temple. That's what Prabhupada said, that's first class. But if someone lives a little distance away, then they should have some deities at home. And if someone lives a long distance away, they better have deities. So, in other words, if they see that their home, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manasa Deha Geha Yokishamura Abhilam Tuya Pade, Nanda Kishore, my home, my body, my mind, Manasa Deha Geha Yokishamura. Everything belongs to you, Nanda Kishore. And we always use it for Krishna. Then there's no harm in being a grahastha. And if you have a sannyasi who doesn't use everything in Krishna's service, then there's harm in being a sannyasi. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for example, had the highest title, which is Thakur. It's even higher than Swami, Goswami, or any of these other titles. Thakur means like, wow, you're already up there. Topmost title. And he was a householder. He had so many children. And he had, of course, one of his children was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So if one can have children like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, fantastical. But if one has children like Ravana, Indrajit, you know, as a child, then better to renounce life. Who needs Ravanas? We got enough Ravanas. Yeah, enough Donald Trumps in this world, so. Probably you don't know who he is. No, you wouldn't know. You're here in Braj. You're here in Braj, you don't know about these things. So, any other questions? Any other questions? Yes.
What is the position of a woman in the Krishna conscious marriage?
She should simply stay in the kitchen, cook all day long, never talk back to her husband, never use her husband's name, always just say Prabhu, Swami, Prabhu, you know, Master, you know, Pati Dev. These are different expressions, and just like wash your husband's feet every day. So that's a good question. No. Anyway, that. Husband and wife should consult about these things, how to best serve Krishna. They're a partnership. To impose like a village standard on marriages nowadays is not practical. Although we have some sannyasis who try to do that. There's one sannyasi who's your main nameless who published a book about that. That, you know, women should be mothers, not masters. So you know, that's a village standard. And really, I guess that would be like more of like a Vaishya or even a Shudra standard. But in the higher class society, you actually have women assuming different duties. I mean, like they're like the Kshatriya lady would be like the queen. I mean, look what the function of Draupadi performed or Kunti performed, isn't it? It's not that they just stayed in the kitchen and cooked all day long. They were actually, or even Mandodari, she just didn't stay in the kitchen all day long. She buys Ravana. And she was, you know, basically from a demoniac family, a demon family. So I think it depends, whatever's best for serving Krishna, the husband and wife have to work that out. But usually it's good to have someone taking care of the children, whether it's the husband or the wife. Because if the children feel neglected by the parents, either because of work or because of devotional service, that children will actually not grow up liking Krishna consciousness. So if there's going to be children, they need full-time caregiver, and not talking about daycare either. You know, or grandparents could be there or other. But it should be family members. So Anyway, there's many practical suggestions. Can't get into all of them, but the grahasas should be Krishna conscious, and why not? There's no harm in the women. Well, anyway, let them work it out. You know what the respective duties of the husband and wife should be. You know, in some cases the wife should be the boss and the husband should be the cook, you know. What can you do? You can't apply a stereotype conception. Whatever is best for Krishna consciousness, we accept, and whatever is not best, we reject. How's that sound?
Many things.
Yeah. But generally there should be peace in the home, no arguing between husband and wife. And if they do argue, they should go to a boxing ring to argue. Not at home in front of the children, especially. If the parents argue in front of the children will actually not find shelter in either one of them. Generally, what I've seen in these argumentative household cases, the parents, they use the children as pawns, you know, to fight with each other. They tell bad things to, you know, son or daughter, the husband will tell bad things, and the wife will tell bad things about the opposite partner. And they just tear apart the kids. Many kids are brought up right now in really dysfunctional situations. There's a lot of abuse, you know, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. I mean, it's incredible the extent of that in society, everywhere in the world. Everywhere. In the Western world, the Eastern world, India, everywhere. So basically children have to be protected, encouraged, and not forced to be Krishna conscious. It's all voluntary. I joined the movement because it was voluntary. If my mother had forced me to be Krishna conscious, I would have become like Ravana. You know, the question was raised, because I answered that question on Facebook today, that the question was raised, you know, why do so few of the children in Krishna consciousness become Krishna conscious? It's because they're forced, they see the Krishna consciousness as pulling their parents away from them, they see their parents as being hypocritical. There's many different reasons like that. But if the parents are good examples, then the children will be Krishna conscious. Look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur being a good example. So any other questions? Ukulendra, you have a question about household life? That's good. What's that?
So what about you're saying that the wife and the husband are more of a partners than the wife takes a submissive role?
Well, they have to decide. They can alternate. One day submissive, the next day unsubmissive.
My understanding from Vedic culture is that the woman should like the same thing that you described, you know, never talk back, always be humble, never fight.
But I think that both people should be always humble and never fight. That's my proposal. It's not that the man should be puffed up. The man should be always humble. The woman should be humble. But, you know, the woman should be... understand the difference between male psychology and woman's psychology, and the man should understand the difference too. You know, like men come from Mars and women come from Venus, as they say. The famous book. You've heard about that book.
Yeah.
Men come from Mars. And you know, there's a different psychology. They're like different species. Not really species, but there's different psychologies. They both need to understand the other psychology and be empathic with the other persons. I think they have to work it out. I mean, we have to be practical. You know, I've seen so many instances where the man tries to get the woman to be like the standard Vedic model and then ends up in a disaster. So, you know, anyway, if someone wants a standard Vedic model, I guess they can go to the villages of India and just pick some uneducated girl who doesn't even speak any language other than Brajbhasa or something like that. You know, the man really wants that. I mean, sometimes the men do that, and then they discover, as the Krishna book story says, Maya's carrier has changed. Like, they discover, it's quite interesting, because I see sometimes the men, not just in India, but they go to Thailand to find a submissive Thai wife. It's very common in America and also in Australia. They do that, and they think, oh, these Thai girls will be very submissive. But as soon as they get married, it's just like they discover something different. They discover they married like a battle axe. So, okay, so the point is, usually it's good to marry someone of similar culture. I mean, I've seen a lot of some intercultural marriages that work, but there's a lot of room for misunderstanding when there's the intercultural marriages, unless all the details of the kinks are worked out first. And that's why there's, in ISKCON we have less premarital counseling. But unfortunately, people, when they fall in love, they don't think about that. So, the main thing is they should serve Krishna and get along and don't argue and don't fight. Actually, Prabhupada said if the household couple doesn't fight, Lakshmi is already automatically there in the house. There will never be a lack of money. That's a hard thing to do, not fight. So, any other questions?
Well, I have another question on the topic. My mistake is this male ego and female ego.
Yes.
And the male ego is like if a woman tries to impose on her husband.
Yes, the male ego wants to dominate.
Yeah, and woman, if she's like a boss, or he's the spouse, and if she shows him that she's a boss, he can be.
Well, if you think you're advanced, you're in trouble. Everyone should be humble. Not only should we not show people we're advanced, we shouldn't act like we're advanced. And that applies in all circumstances. You remember years ago I used to tell you to listen to your father? So, it's a good idea. Listen to your husband and your father. Sometimes we think we're advanced, we know what's best, and we're in trouble. A great devotee thinks that he's not advanced. Actually, the Uttama Adhikari sees everybody serving Krishna, except for himself. The more we advance, the less we think we're advanced. The more we know, the less we think we know. You understand? Humility should be there with everybody. Please accept my humble obeisances. I don't even write that when I write letters, humble obeisances, because I'd be proud that I have humble obeisances.
Oh, I know when he tells me to, when I write to you, she goes, that's not how you write to Guru Dev.
Well, the disciple, right, please accept my obeisances. But who's humble anyway? Humble means to think of yourself less, not to think less of yourself. That's really humility. All right. Any other questions? No? I think, because we have a big day tomorrow. And we want to thank everybody for joining us. Unless someone has... We got people from the United States, Krishna Priya, Vrindavan Bihari from Mexico, Divya Nittai Leela, who's with us all the time, Nanda Gopal, from Canada, Lita Kund from Mexico. It's interesting, so many nice devotees from all over the world. Mexico, everywhere.